we're having fun here with technology. Welcome. We're just lowering things. This is the Aging Well Together show. It's great to have you here. Today's show is going to be creatively fabulous. It's all about the upcoming Creativity Expo on Saturday, September 23rd from 1 to 5 at the Seymour Center. I'm excited for all the information we'll learn together. But before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The show is also available to stream anytime on WCOMFM.org and through streaming services. So many thanks for listening to us. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful team from the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information on any of the issues we discuss or to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. Or please connect with the Orange County Department on Aging, and requests have been coming in, which is nice. You can reach the Orange County Department on Aging by calling 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. We used to say backslash that aging, and then we learned it's forward slash. I'm also so excited that all of our recorded shows are finally now available. Woohoo! On the Orange County Department on Aging's website. Whoops, I'm getting more comfortable. So when you go to the website, there's a link to the Aging Well Together radio show. So you go to orangecountync.gov/aging. And then on the left, there's a list of all kinds of things you can learn about through the Department on Aging. But one of them is a clicker, a link to the Aging Well Together show. You can listen to our past 18 shows now. Many thanks to Marilyn. I don't know. Is it Hoyle? Marilyn, I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name, but Marilyn, you are my favorite person in the whole world now. Sorry, guests, because you made our webpage happen. And many thanks to you and Beverly Shuford for making the new website available. And a shout out to the Carrboro bass band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great music for our opening and closing. I know I just gave you a little bit of a teaser, but you'll get more at the end. And also, thanks to my fabulous returning co-host, Alicia Reed. Welcome back, Alicia. This is the part of the show where I give her a hard time and say, Alicia, please put the microphone closer to you.
Never.
Alicia is a wellness instructor with the Orange County Department on Aging. She tries to get me moving more, and she is a perfect person for our show today, all about creativity, because she is very creative herself. And if our guests look around, we can point out afterwards, she has done decorating around the station. She has been trying to redecorate it and Alicia it. All right, we're going to turn it over to our guests, but first I'll say just a quick moment about me. I am your host, Heather Altman. I've spent the last 25 years working in aging services, and I continue to work with older adults and their families, helping them connect with supportive resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 52, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I'm super invested in how we are all aging well together. All right, we are dropping things in the station, if you just heard that.
Live radio.
I would like to give a shout out to Grateful Dave, who has his own fabulous show and is in here to help me with IT, and he's also breaking the fan. Thank you, Dave. All right, we are going to turn it over to our three fabulous guests, who are all experts in many different forms of creativity. And they will all be showcased at the Creativity Expo that you all should attend next Saturday, September 23rd, from 1 to 5 at the Seymour Center in Chapel Hill on Homestead Road. And my apologies to anyone in advance who's listening to a recorded session of this on the website, and it's after September 23rd, because you'll be like, I missed it. All right. I'm turning it over to our guests just to say a quick hello. We have Marielle Hare, Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. Marielle is an artist, creativity coach, and somatic-based experience designer. And we are totally going to be talking about that because I want to know what that means. She believes play is our easiest access to creativity. And my new friend next to Marielle is Hugh Willard. He is a writer. He is a psychotherapist, a musician, and podcaster with a passion for helping folks renew their sense of self and purpose in the second half of life. And joining us by phone, our very first call-in guest, I'm very excited and I hope we don't mess it up, we have Carl Nordgren. He is an entrepreneur, former Duke professor, novelist, and radio show host with a calling to help us all become our most creative selves. I'm so excited to have you all here. I'm already inspired by your introductions. I've been so excited about this for days as I've been learning more about you on email, but we finally are getting to meet each other. I'm going to spend the whole show pretty much diving into your roles, and soon I will stop talking. But let me first say hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. And Carl, we're checking our IT. Can you hear us okay? Let's see if he's able to join us. I don't know what we'll be able to do. Well, this is our live show. Well,
we will carry forward.
That's right. We will carry forward. I'm so sorry. There should be a way. Okay. Carl, if you're listening to us, why don't you dial in at 919-246-9639, and we'll try to get you back on the air. But for now, I want to say hello to Hugh and Marielle. Welcome again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Heather and Alicia. It's great to be here with you all.
I know. And before we dive into the Creativity Expo, always like to ask our guests to tell a little bit about yourselves, though I know we're going to talk so much about you for the rest of the show also, but just a little bit about where you're from and how you got interested in the topic of creativity. And Marielle, do you want to go first? I know you're texting, or Hugh, do you want to go
first?
I'll
take it. I think she's maybe trying to reach Carl.
So. Got it. Okay.
And I'll be as succinct as I can. So originally from the Midwest, from Wisconsin, although I grew up in central North Carolina, a little community called Oak Ridge, outside of Greensboro, and I migrated this way. I went to college here, college and graduate school here, and then out into the workforce. I've been a therapist for 35 years or so. As you did in the intro, mentioned in the intro, I'm a musician as well as a writer and a podcaster. So I like to mix and match, and you know, variety is the spice of life. I also teach classes over at primarily at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute.
Oh, sure.
At North Carolina State. I've done a little bit at Duke, Georgia, Athens, and did a little bit with Carl up in Asheville. Those are great institutions, wonderful opportunities for folks who are 50 plus, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And we're eligible, Alicia.
Of course.
Yes. And so I've been teaching some courses over there, and one of the courses that I have taught is looking at creativity as a part of looking at identity and meaning and relationships and creativity and exploring that. And so always have great experiences with the folks doing those, and so that was a bit of a foray for me into this process that we're doing now, and certainly with the Seymour Center. And out of it also is a book that will be coming out next month. So maybe we'll talk about that at some point.
Oh, we have a lot more to talk about with this show, and we're already planning. Hugh is already going to be a returning guest when his book comes out. And I have a lot of follow-up questions. I will not ask them now, but I'm so glad you talked about the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, I think is
yes,
the I.
Yes,
otherwise known lovingly as Ollie. My mother was a huge fan of Ollie. And when I quit my job to be a full-time caregiver for her, and when my father was ill, and Alicia knows my father now well, that was my big job, was taking her back and forth to the Ollie classes. She loved it. So, and I'm hoping to have the Ollie folks come on a show soon. So, yeah. All right, Marielle, tell us about you and what brought you to Carrboro here, and this, how long you've been here, and creativity.
Yeah, hi. I grew up in Atlanta, and I went to school at UNC Chapel Hill, and really, really, really love North Carolina. And then I left and went out west and lived in a variety of places out there, San Francisco for a long time. And then what brought me back was, to be completely honest, a feeling.
That's good. I like it.
I just was like, I need to be back here. And it made no sense to my brain, but it made complete sense to my heart. And I've been here 12 years now, and I love it so much. And creativity, it's hard to even say what brought me to creativity, like breathing. I've done lots of different expressions, and I'm, you know, probably most passionate about dance, performance, and I'm a creativity coach, and really, in a way, what that means is a wholeness coach. Like, I feel like creativity is vitality.
Yes.
It is our life force, and I create workshops both online and in person that facilitate other people's creativity, and I'm sure there's more I could say, but
well,
there you go.
There will be a lot more follow-up. I am so glad that you are now. Alicia, we have fabulous people
I
in
know.
Our circle now.
And, you know, I'm glad we're getting it out there so everybody can know it.
I was just inspired just reading about both of you, and now that you're here, like, my cheeks are hurting. I can't stop smiling. And Marielle, you and I both had that experience of moving away and then knowing needed to move back.
Mm.
And not to bring us down, but it's been 22 years. It was September 11th, 2001, when my husband and I were in Washington, D.C., when the attack happened, and I was 7 months pregnant, and I said, I can't have my baby here. Like, I got to go back to where I feel comfortable. And September 12th, he was offered a job and back here, and I was like, take it. It ended up being a bad job, and, you know, he didn't stay in it long, but
it
got me back, and I said, I need to go back to Chapel Hill. I am with you in that calling to be back here. So
cool.
I'm an adopted Southerner. All right. So before I do lots of follow-up questions about you, and Carl, I'm so sorry you're not with us, but hopefully we'll get you at some point to join us when he calls in. Sorry, I know we're doing it on air.
It doesn't hurt, but yeah.
Okay. So
light flash when he calls.
Other folks that play music can have music playing while we're doing all this background, but because we're a talk show and this is our first time trying to have a call in, folks. But I know Hugh is going to tell us about the Creativity Expo. Hold on.
Oh, there we go.
This is fun.
Love that phone ring.
Exciting.
Love that phone ring. Yeah.
Hi, Carl.
That was good.
All right, we're good. I'm so sorry. We're going to try to put you on the air now. Let's see.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Carl, are you on?
I am on.
Oh,
we have contact.
Wonderful. I am sorry. Thank you. And listeners, thank you for your patience, but we got it. And Grateful Dave is now going to leave the station. We are grateful for you. And everyone listen to his Grateful Dead appreciation show. Carl, before you jump in, because we have questions about the Creativity Expo, do a little bit of an introduction about yourself and how long you've lived in the area and what you're up to that brought you into creativity.
Okay, well, I've been in the area for 42 years, moved down here with my wife and our 9-month-old baby, and we've raised 3 daughters down here, and here is mostly Durham, although we lived in Chapel Hill for a short time. I've been an entrepreneur for most of my adult life. That led to me teaching at Duke at the undergraduate level, where a class that I was asked to teach on entrepreneurship pretty quickly morphed into a class on how to become your most creative and entrepreneurial self.
Wonderful.
Because that's what the students were, in fact, more interested in. And so that was 20-plus years ago. For the last 20 years, my life has been all about helping people grow their creative capacities, develop their entrepreneurial instincts and behaviors. I just love this work. I believe that as we all face this future of unknowable unknowns, there's really nothing more important. And it's really exciting to bring this work to folks like me. I'm 72 years old. I love to serve my peers and my cohorts with this content. And so there's a good introduction for me. And I'm so glad that you've got Hugh and Marielle in the studio with you. do. That's the A team. I'm the guy with the broom going along behind them. But you've got the real talent there in the studio with you. Let me say that.
All right. Well, I can tell there's a great friendship among the three of you, and I'm glad that Alicia and myself, we are joining, and she's an A, and I'm Altman. So I guess we're joining the A team with all of you. Carl, I wish you were here so I could giggle at you and say, okay, you can be my new best friend, too, even though you're Duke and I'm a double Tar Heel. And
yay.
So we will put that aside, and we have a lot to discuss offline. I worked with Professor Jim Johnson and taught the entrepreneurship class at Kenan Flagler Business School on social entrepreneurship.
Whoa. And very cool, yes.
Yeah, did it for 6 years, and we made those students, we turned it into social entrepreneurship and global aging, and they had to do an aging-related project. That's what they got for bringing me in, who's an aging and public health person, with a bunch of business students who was like, who's this person? So I am so happy to have you here. There's a lot more I'm going to ask you about, as well as the A-team that I'm staring at. Which of you? Should I have Carl? Okay, Carl, you are now going to keep talking and tell us all about what is this Creativity Expo on September 23rd at the Seymour Center?
Well, the magic words were there at the end of your sentence, the Seymour Center. Those of you who have been there, and I'll bet many of you have been there, it's such a remarkable program over there with wonderful people, and they've got so many great activities going on. We've done some programs with them before. And the folks that come to the programs at the Seymour Center just make the presentations that we do such a blast. And so, yes, it's the 23rd from 1 to 5. We are going to, each one of us, Marielle, Hugh, and I, we all share this passion for helping people become more creative, and we all have the point of view that there's no one way to do that, that there's so many different ways to express your creativity. To have a fixed definition or a fixed understanding of what it means to be creative is really doing somebody a disservice. One should have an expansive sense of being creative, and between Hugh and Marielle and I, that's what we will be doing on Saturday, is giving them lots of different perspectives. We'll be introducing them to some really cool research about what goes on in our brains when we reach the age around 55 or 60. There's biological changes in our brains that actually make it the time to do a creative renewal. Your brain becomes a more creative organ around the age of 55 and 60. We'll be telling people about that research. That always brings a smile to people's faces. And there'll be just all kinds of activities. There'll be a jester there to entertain folks between the events. And it's going to be active. It's going to be fun. And, you know, especially Marielle, but really all three of us, we understand how important motion and movement and play is in one's creative life. And so we'll be bringing a lot of that to everybody that comes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. I wish you were here so you could just see all, like, the expressions on my face and we're, like, moving. And then, like, Alicia and I always like to take fun notes. I scribbled down jester. Did you scribble down jester? Yeah. We, like, take notes when fun things. And I'm excited to join. Funny, that morning I'm running an advanced care planning workshop at a church out a few hours away. But then I'll be back in time to experience it. But I was going to ask a little bit more. So, and I'm not cool yet. I turn 53 next month, so I have not hit my creativity peak. Rebirth that's going to happen at 55. But I'm super excited, and I will invite you all to my birthday party when I turn 55. It will be
psychedelic.
I have good birthday parties. My 50th birthday party during the pandemic was a Zoom bingo drag show.
Oh.
So
I
will have
an invitation.
I will have a great 50th birthday party, and we can start 55th, so we can start planning it. But so I come into the Seymour Center on Saturday the 23rd. Besides a jester, like, what will I experience? Is it going to be lectures? Marielle, are you going to have me dance? I'm looking at Marielle. What am I going to
I'm going to have you move. I'm not going to call it dance because that freaks some people
out.
Right.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But
I love dancing, so that did not freak me out.
Yeah, but some people, think they can't dance, and that's just not true. You know, if you can, like, lift your arms over your head like I'm doing right now, You can dance.
Okay. This is great.
We'll be doing movement.
So there'll be movement, and then is it going to be like stations, or are we going to be... Okay. So there, everyone's nodding at me.
Stations,
this is what happens
yes.
with radio and not TV. You can't
yes.
not.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
you can stations. Not. Yes. Carl, you're missing a party over here.
People will move through
I'm enjoying
our
it.
Three
I'm enjoying it.
Presentations.
Okay. And I ask, even though I really think I know the answer to this, is there any charge for this event?
It is free.
Okay.
It is absolutely free. Yep.
Carl?
That's the Seymour Center magic, right? They just that's their service to the community, and they do it so well, yes.
Perfect. Carl, you just got an A, and your friends, I'm tagging them right now. They both looked at each other like, is it free? So apparently it was a good question.
I'm getting paid.
That's an important question.
I'm getting ready for this.
Yeah, okay. So it is free for those of us who are joining.
Okay.
And I am curious, since I'm loving the energy, though I'm seeing there's a weird feedback that is happening now with us, but that's okay. How did you all get connected?
We may have lost Carl. Hopefully we'll get him back.
We lost Carl.
All right,
we lost Carl.
Dave. So you're asking how did we connect with
how
one
did
another?
The three of you get connected, and I'm sure Carl will call us back.
Well, Carl and I, we met, I'm going to lose track of time with the pandemic, but we met maybe a couple of years ago through a mutual colleague. And hit it off right away, deep diving into all sorts of conversations about creativity, the experience of it, the expression of it, the engagement of it, just kindred spirits right from the start. And it was and is and will be beautiful. So, that was our...
you just met. You just met somewhere.
Through a mutual friend. Right,
okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I realize I can ask inappropriately personal questions like, oh.
Yeah,
and feel free to put your Social Security number out. Like, I'm always asking our guests. I was like, just share anything personal.
Yeah, so we've had many great conversations, and I think I'd mentioned earlier, I don't know if we were on air when I said this, But some of the Osher Lifelong Ollie
yeah.
mm-hmm. experiences, and Carl and I, we worked together on one at Asheville, up in Asheville.
Nice.
A lot of fun. Always enjoy time with Carl. And then, Muriel, you?
I went to one of Carl's free talks that he gave a few years ago, 5 or more years ago. And yeah, we just connected and we stayed in touch, and all the things Hugh said, like just kindred spirits. And really, Carl, how do you not love Carl? Like,
mm. I know, I already love him. I love him so much, but somehow I disconnected him. But so I hope Carl doesn't. He might call back. Carl, call us back.
Carl is the conduit for Marielle and I to connect, and we're really just coming together around this putting together of the Creativity Expo.
Good. It's like all roads lead to Rome, all creativity, not all, lots of creativity leads back to Carl, so we're just...
Truly. He's calling now.
Oh, is it ringing? Okay, do you have to hit that?
Let's do it off. Okay, have him do it again.
There you go.
Clearly, we are learning... This is going to be really fun for people to listen back to. Is they're like, they do not know what they're doing.
But we're learning.
I know, we are learning. Yeah. And speaking of learning, Alicia, put the microphone a little bit closer to you, my friend. Don't be scared of it. Just move the whole thing closer so you can talk.
There you go.
There's our
friend. Thanks, Carl. There's the bell. Saved by the bell.
All right. Hi, Carl.
I'm back. You got rid of me, but I'm back.
No. We've just been saying lovely things about you and how you were impetus. That's a big word. You and Hugh met in some mysterious way through a mutual friend. I didn't get more from that. No, but it's fine. And then you met Marielle, and then Marielle, you brought, because I asked how you three got together, but you were really fun, and I would like to have a party with you all. Clearly, you are fun. All right. Now, since we're in the hot seat, and Carl, I'm going to start with you before we lose you again, and I hope we don't. I would like to dive in a little bit deeper into you and your creativity journey, because each of you have all these cool things in your introduction, and I want to know more. So I know the former... I will accept the Duke professorship. Fine. And by the way, I also studied at Duke. They had a great aging program with UNC and Duke. And I used to tell people that I root for both UNC and Duke because I had a lot of wonderful aging long-term care mentors. And early on, someone said, no, you can't do that. You have to pick one. You cannot be supportive of both. So now look at me being all disrespectful. But okay, so you're a Duke professor in entrepreneurship. You are an entrepreneur yourself. What does that mean, and how can I spend money on anything you've created? Because I love to support my friends in business. What have you done in the past?
A couple of comments first. While I was off, I looked because I remembered that our jester had a name that needed to be shared, and so I'm going to share the jester's name before I respond to your prompts here, if you don't mind. And that
totally
is our jester's name is Sammy Sylvester, the greatest of jesters.
Oh, that's so
isn't that wonderful? Sammy that Sylvester, the greatest of jesters.
Destined.
And I'm not just a, I mean, I had too many athletes in my classes to not root for every team out there. I've met so many good young athletes, and I said to myself at some point, well, they're same fine kids. You're over there at Clemson, and they're over there at UNC. How can I root against any of these wonderful kids?
Oh.
So, yes, I taught at Duke. But my loyalty isn't to Duke. I just want to say that to you.
Oh, there we go. Said to a people in a we are a stone's throw from Chapel Hill. We're here in Carrboro, so that was those were good thoughts. So, what kind of businesses or entrepreneurial pursuits have you done that I could benefit from? It all really comes back to me. I'm very self-involved. What could I learn from you've done?
Well, where I began, and let me tell that story very quickly because it is where I learned entrepreneurial principles that I had no expectation I was going to. When I was 15 years old, and so this means in the mid-60s, mm-hmm. I made my way from northern Illinois, where I was living, up to northwest Ontario to be a fishing guide at a wilderness fishing camp where the men, and it was all men there in the mid-60s, you know, they were like 50-year-old bank presidents.
Oh.
And here I am, a skinny little 15-year-old kid, and I have to lead these men, right? I have to take control of the situation and lead them so that they can catch some fish and enjoy their trip. And what I learned without knowing that I was learning it, but boy, it sure served me later when I was an entrepreneur, was that when you serve somebody, they like that. And they like it so much that they will grant you more authority when they see that you're going to use that authority to serve them even better. And so I became a servant leader from the back of a fishing boat without realizing that that's what I was becoming. When I entered my entrepreneurial phase, the first company I had a hand in starting, if you are a cellular customer of Verizon, the company that we started here in 1985 called Cellular One of the Triangle, and we ran that for a bunch of years here, a very successful company versus Sprint. This is 1985 when cellular was brand new. It was bought and bought again. And so Verizon is the lingering remnants of whatever Cellular One was once upon a time.
Interesting.
Folks in Chapel Hill might have heard of FGI, the initials F as in Fred, G as in George, I, FGI. We were a very successful marketing company there in Easttown for a bunch of years.
Sure.
And it was a wonderful place. I don't know that there was ever a more creative group. And it spoke so highly of Chapel Hill. Whenever we were recruiting people, oh, my gosh, we had so much creative talent to choose from. Chapel Hill is just filled with wonderful creative talent. And so and from FGI, we had such a wonderful group there. We actually launched a couple of more businesses. And then I spent some time as a runner of managing of an incubator. And boy, we would have had we were starting a company that we were building something that now is called Spotify.
Oh.
We called it Next Audio. We had it growing and growing and growing, and Clear Channel, the big multimedia company, bought that, and I think that IP got flipped into the Spotify program. And for the last 10, 15 years, 20 years now, I guess, my entrepreneurial work has been opportunistic. It's all, again, about helping people become creative. And so when I find organizations that are eager to grow their creative capacities, when I find organizations like Seymour Center that are eager to I'm both a missionary and an entrepreneur now, right? My as a missionary, when I'm wearing that hat, man, I'll go anywhere to put on workshops to help people become more creative. And then some folks want to pay me for that. So my current entrepreneurial gig is when those folks who want my services to help their organizations become more creative. Moss and Ross is a wonderful consulting company that specializes in nonprofits. Yeah. So I did a workshop for them, for instance, right before the end of last year, and continue to do a little work for them. So what my passion is, and I'm fortunate that I get to act on my passion, is to help people, first of all, realize that they are creative. Mm-hmm. Right? Lots of folks like to declare they're not when, after a few minutes of talking to Mariel or Hugh or I, they very quickly realize, yes, they are creative, and then they can embrace that, and they can have that as part of their self-identity. So that's where I am now.
Okay. So much to follow up on, and it helps me with a question that I want to ask all of you. And okay, so, and we should talk offline if you can get me a free Spotify account, because I pay for my girls, but I'm too cheap for myself, and oh, that's a whole other issue. So other things about you, because that was all fabulous, but there's more. You wrote a book. You're a novelist. You wrote five books. Yeah. Carl is your manager, Hugh is your manager right now, and he's giving me many fingers. So you've written lots of books. Do you like to write about creativity or about what?
Well, three novels, and the three novels are one way or another come from my time as a fishing guide up in Canada. It's my pleasure that a good close Ojibwe friend that I made there shared with me an Ojibwe story that was so very, very important in his life. And asked me to popularize it, to bring it to a larger audience. And so Anung's Journey is the name of the book that I wrote on behalf of Steve Phobister, this friend of mine. And then I've written two novels, two in a series, again, that are about that world up there. And it was an extraordinary place. It was an Eden, and I got to live and work with Ojibwe Indians here south of the border in the States. That tribe is usually called the Chippewa. And so my novels are filled with Indian lore and Indian stories, and I'm just really delighted to say that they've all been sold in the Museum of Ojibwe Culture, which says that the folks who I'm writing about are pleased that way I write about them. And yes, I do have one book on creativity, Becoming a Creative Genius again, and that book, is it all right for me to quickly point out to folks that that book, if you're an e-reader, if you're an e-book reader, that book this month is for sale for 99 cents. It feels like I would be irresponsible.
Do they get it on Kindle
on all platforms? Yeah.
Maybe Spotify if people are not cheap like me and have an actual. All right, my last question, just because I want to get all my questions in before, if just in case there's an issue. Apparently, you have a radio show. You probably are much better at the technology than our fun little station here and my ability to get callers online. What is this radio show that apparently Hugh has come on? And so I want to know about this.
The show is broadcast on Sunday mornings at 11:30. It's called Exploring Your Creative Genius. Again, the book was titled Becoming a Creative Genius Again. That language is not my. I would not be so bold as to call us creative geniuses. I've always known that we were all creative, but that language, that
genius
the permission
people.
To call us creative geniuses came from a NASA research project where the folks that performed the best on their creativity assessment, NASA called them creative geniuses. Well, the folks who developed that assessment later gave it to 1,600 five-year-old Project Head Start children, and 98% of them scored at NASA's creative genius level. So that gave me the permission to claim that phrase, creative genius.
Oh, that's great.
And yes, I have a radio show. It's half hour. I have guests. Sometimes it's just me talking. You guys can probably tell I don't mind talking.
And you can tell I don't either. Are we? You know what? The station people aren't here. What we can be kind. And it's a community access. What station are you on? Are you on WCHL?
I'm on WCHL. That's correct.
Okay. I think our community station should love on each other, and so that's great. So Sunday morning. Okay. And apparently, Hugh has come on your show, and
yes,
I I don't know, after I turn 50 or maybe I just change medication, I don't get intimidated that much anymore. And I should be intimidated by you. You have a radio show, Carl. Hugh, you have a podcast. Hugh, I want to ask you about your creativity. What's your... Everyone has a microphone these days. Alicia, you have a show. Marielle, do you have a show?
Not yet.
Okay,
you're going to need to get a show because apparently... Everyone, no peer pressure, but we all have a show.
I'm already planning it.
Oh, okay. And I.
Marielle is the show. I just want to make sure people understand Marielle is the show.
I know.
She doesn't need a show. She is the show.
Right. Instead of the, like, marvelous Miss Maisel, the marvelous Marielle. Well, I've already been trying to get her to get a show on WCOM. There's some open spots. All right, Hugh, tell us about your podcast.
My podcast. Well, my podcast, we've already been talking about the Ollie work that
yes.
I do. And so out of that, I've written a few books, and I went in the direction of my first nonfiction book as a product of my time at Ollie mm-hmm. and the courses that I have taught there. And so I've written this book. It's actually going to come out next month, and we'll chat more about that maybe on a separate show. But the whole third section of the book deals with creativity, and I'm going to get to the podcast piece here in a moment.
No,
but,
it's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, that was the Ollie courses that I was teaching. And prior to the Ollie courses, it really was born of my time in my therapy practice, mm-hmm. working with folks across a range of issues. And, of course, when we think therapy practice, a lot of that folks may consider that we're looking more on the side of, a strong word here, pathology,
mm-hmm.
you know, concerns that people have. And that's true, and it's legitimate. But what I found over many years and just time with sitting with my clients was that creativity, exploring that, tapping into that, really was so essential as a different tact in them embracing their experiences, integrating their experiences, getting into a more generative stance.
Mm-hmm.
So that became something that I really started doing more and more with my clients. And that just compelled me and inspired me to explore in a lot of different directions, including the work with Ollie. And so out of the work with Ollie, I started to write this book and, of course, start to shop the book and chat with folks, and was talking with an agent who really liked it. And then she says, you know what, this would pair really well with a podcast.
Yes, and you do have a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You have a beautiful face because they have, like, you know, you have a face for radio.
For radio.
You have a great voice for radio. You have a face for TV. Let's film it. Okay,
thank you.
But you do have a good radio voice.
Everybody call my agent. We'll go from there. Yeah, but she said that, and I had no more given a thought to doing a podcast than the man on the moon.
Yeah.
And but, you know, I started to think about it. Of course, I'd listened to some podcasts, but...
Okay.
Started to think about it, and next thing I know, I'm chatting with folks and exploring, and I've got a good friend who's a good tech person, does sound engineering, and next thing I know, we're off to the races, and it's a year and a half now, and of course there's a learning curve, there's some ums and ahs and bumps and bruises along the way. I love it. And the show,
isn't it fun?
Is so fun.
Clearly, I like a live show because then we just deal with it and there's not a lot of editing. Sorry, Carl, again. But yeah, podcasting, you know, you have the pressure where you get to fix it up and do all these things. But it is really fun,
it's
just
so,
spouting
well,
off.
And for me, so my podcast is Aging Well, Finding Beauty in the Gray.
Oh, wow.
And
it's so similar to our title, Alicia, Aging Well Together.
Yeah.
We should have a partnership there.
And over this time, and this may sound a little cliche, but, you know, I get more from my guests. I learn so much from them, and I'm sure you would.
That's totally
on that.
How I feel. I don't know how you people are going to feel at the end of this, but I'm so into it, and I really love doing the show because of all the people I get to learn mm-hmm. about and the things they're doing. So yes, go on. Sorry.
No, you're fine. And so the show itself is, you know, we have a guest on each episode, and from time to time we have the experts who come in, and they're going to share important information and resources and ways for folks to manage things that are salient, you know, certainly in the second half of life. Many things are salient across life, but some things have more direct resonance later in life. So that's important stuff, and that's great. But I particularly love the shows where I have folks who are coming on and who are just sharing their stories, sharing their experiences, their travels, their interactions with all generations and activities. And it's just a blast. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Clearly, you're a good listener. You probably ask really great questions, but you're a great listener because you make a lot of money, or you make money listening. So you're a psychotherapist. Are you still in practice? I ask selfishly. Are you still in practice?
I am still in practice.
Are you looking for more clients?
I am so full. And actually, just to heap a little bit more on, I need one of those. What are those paper plates that have the commercials? Is it Chinette, that can hold up under all the pressure?
Oh, yes, I know those commercials.
Maybe they'll give us a little kickback on that.
Yeah, because there's too many people. There's so many of us who are struggling right now, and so everyone wants.
This is true.
That's a whole other show. So, I'm very chatty right now, but I have two college-age children, and the kids are not all right. I mean,
it's a mess. A difficult time, and definitely what we want to call post-pandemic, we're still in this.
We're still right. Yes,
we're still in it.
We're still in it. But so I am super full. But on top of that, I decided to put more on my plate, and I have gone back to school. I'm getting my MFA. In creative nonfiction.
Mm. Look at this.
So
we should have a show on creativity. Oh, wait, we are having a show on creativity. Yeah, okay. That's amazing. One last question before Marielle, I want to ask you. Do you have a specialty in your practice with psychotherapy? Do you focus on a certain age group or a certain syndrome or a certain thing? I'll just stop asking.
Yeah, you would say I'm a generalist. And the migration over the years has been toward older folks, seasoned folks. So
yes, well experienced. Yeah. Yes, well we like seasoned. Yes. We like experience. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's been the migration. But I do work with adults, and we of course are. I'm working with folks across a variety of presenting concerns to get the clinical language in here: depression, anxiety, adjustment issues, trauma.
The full buffet that everyone that I know is experiencing right now, everyone in my family. I instead of therapy, I just have a microphone in front of me, and I can just, chat about my issues. All right, more to dive into. Marielle, I have questions for you, and then I have questions for you. Like, I have questions for everyone. So you need to describe for me, I want to say it correctly, a somatic-based experience designer. That is what you are, but what does that mean?
Yes, what does that mean? What that means is, I'll say what it's not, which I think is a little bit helpful.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of like a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
So PowerPoint is going to use like language and come at your brain and give you information.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to design something that has you feel the material. So you're going to have an emotional and physical experience that will really inform your whole being, and you really will integrate that information much more fully.
So, and somatic being the body?
Yes,
like break that
right.
up for us.
Yeah.
So we're going to experience it in our body. And like So you say you're doing it with me. So are you touching me? Are you like giving me a massage?
Yeah,
I'm trying to get a massage
question.
From everyone.
I'm not touching you.
Okay, so it is. We're going to stay 6 feet apart, and you're going to try to have me feel it emotionally.
Yeah. So it's a very precise. Like it depends on the objective. I do it for all different kinds of things. So an example would be, I worked with a early childhood charter school in California, and they were onboarding the board of directors and really wanted them to understand their mission, which was different. It was a charter school.
Mm-hmm.
And so rather than, have a whiteboard or PowerPoint, she met them outside like you would meet the students.
Nice.
And so she sort of explained, we're going to do a different approach here. And, imagine that you're arriving here for the first day, and there are things that, prompts that we use that help them sort of feel that, and to imagine kind of walking through the hallways and looking at the artwork and the things on the walls. And just sort of the whole meeting was sort of in that vein. And at the end, I think it was the superintendent said, I go to a lot of meetings. I hate meetings.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to your next meeting.
That is high praise, because it's the entire sensory experience that you're bringing in. I know I do a lot with cognitive changes and brain changes, dementia work, and so let's really sort of harness all of our senses to kind of get it.
Yes.
And you are also an artist and a dancer, and so I want to get to this issue of what words scare people, and you said dance scares people earlier when you were talking, and so you use movement. So how do you get people moving in a way that's not intimidating? Because it sounds like you do that as part of your practice. I'll just stop that there, and then I have another question, so I don't ask too many.
Yeah, I mean, I would say one of my kind of odd superpowers is that I know how to sort of place the breadcrumbs carefully that, like, bring people in. So, like, a common thing that said is, after a workshop was, I can't believe I did that.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I do it by starting with walking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's really not intimidating.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll layer something in on that. But it's really important to start super, super easy so that everybody feels safe and comfortable. And then, expand out from there.
So, and then in your work as an artist, do people, like, could I come in, what kind of art? Am I coming in looking at paintings? Am I come in watching you perform? Again, I'm happy to spend money supporting any of you. Though, Carl, your stuff is sort of expensive. But, Marielle, like, how would I support your artistic endeavors?
Well, as far as I'm a photographer and I make video, you could buy a photograph.
Okay, good to know.
but sort of related to this, the artwork that I do is really more about a collective experience. So it's pretty out of the box. Like, it's a little hard even for me to describe it because it doesn't exist. It's a weird thing. But it's, again, it's an experience that someone's invited into, and their own creativity is ignited. So, I can have a portrait series that I do. That's free. I would love to have all of you do the portrait series with me.
So, like, we make portraits, or you make portraits of us?
I give you instructions, creative instructions, and then I take your portrait.
Okay. As, like, a picture. So
it's a photograph.
Yes, a photograph.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm down with that.
Anyway, just things that are very experiential. So, like,
yeah, that's the word
that
just keeps popping up, experience. Mm-hmm. You are going to have an experience.
You're going to have an experience. And I really love the unknown. I mean, that's creativity, right? As you're sort of creatively exploring, curiously exploring new material, new land. And I just love creating a world that people can step into and find themselves a little bit transformed.
Well, I want to dive into that. I know we have just a few minutes left, but this concept of creativity and how I think we do in our society, big picture stuff, we kind of try to trample it down. It's like you're creative until you're 7 or 8, and then we do lots of things, and then when people say I'm not creative, if you really ask them, they might say, well, it's because I can't draw. And what does that mean? Well, I can't draw a perfect circle, or I can't draw a replication of an apple. So, Hugh, you're nodding. What do we do to mess up people's creativity, and how do you rebirth it in people?
I'm having that turn. Yeah, that's a great question, and my goodness, it feels like it's just this tidal wave of conditioning, you know, sort of societal level social conditioning that creates hierarchies, and so we make these comparisons and these contrastings, and we look at folks who have such wonderful gifts in these traditional, just, you know, within the limits of language, I'll use this, in these traditional art forms.
Mm-hmm.
So we see you know, the Georgia O'Keeffes, and we listen to the Joni Mitchells, and, you know, we have these experiences where we look at folks and we compare and contrast them
and
with
say,
our
like,
own experience.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that. And so that's a great, you know, suppression and tamping down. Mm-hmm. And then within the sort of competitive structure of things, it's like, you know, we have contests, an art contest, a photography contest, you know. Oh, the best one wins. And I understand that that's the way many things go. It is anathema to creativity. We all are inherently creative, and we do lose that, I think, over a lot of the messaging that comes in societal level, community level, family level, because we're all sort of marinating in this idea about creativity, and we lose access. We all have, I mean, you know, again, I like Carl's resistance to defining creativity, letting it be more expansive. It is about self-expression, self-exploration, mm-hmm. Curiosity. You know, if you are alive, you know, if we can put the mirror up and see what is that on the mm-hmm. mirror when you're the
breathing on
breathing,
it?
You know,
yeah, you see the fog.
The fog on it. Then, and I'm being a little excessive with that, but the point is that there is creativity within you, each and every one of us. There is, you know, is the capacity for creative exploration and expression. And we just need permission. We need to understand that is within each of us, and we don't have to look at it in comparison with other people. This is me. This is mine. And how do I understand it, engage it, integrate it, explore, bring it out to the world?
Yeah, and it's that safety factor. Like, a lot of us, me included, feel safe singing in the shower and singing in the car or dancing alone in the room. I'll dance with people around, too, and I'll sing. Around. But that sense of, where can I express it, but I still have to keep it hidden because it might not be good enough,
exactly.
or I might be judged.
There is a great book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
Okay.
And she gives some very practical ideas to help stimulate our creative experience and expression. I part company with her on one thing. She says in the book that engaging the creative experience is safe. I disagree. It is not safe.
It's not safe.
It is incredibly risky, and I think that's a part of what keeps people so just sort of separated from it. It does involve risk. But, my goodness, please engage that process. Find safe people to engage that process.
Sure, but we live in a society that doesn't encourage it or
doesn't
uphold it. So how do we get that type of mindset?
Well, look for the community. Look, you know, find people who are going to be more open to mm-hmm. to that experience and that process, and start there, and allow that. You know, momentum begets momentum, so we build that. If I can try to find the supportive structures and community, and say I'm going to take some chances here in this environment, that may embolden me. That may help me to embrace my capacity and whatever expression that is—traditional art form, non-traditional, problem solving. New approaches to engaging relationships. We can go all over the place with this.
But as Heather said, it starts like at 7, 8, 9 or even younger where you hide those things or you put those emotions or those tendencies away. So that's a long time to get 64 mm-hmm. and say bring them out.
It's a lot of unlearning and relearning. It is.
Well, we only have like 2 minutes left, but Carla had a question. Are you still on with us?
We lost him.
Oh, did we lose him?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there
we
go. He was like, well, because I wanted to see you be able, because I had another question I'm going to ask you with our 2 minutes left. This concept of doing paid work and being in the business world for a while and then moving to this later on in life, but what a lot of people called hobbies. And mm-hmm. I was thinking about this concept of what's a hobby and how we sometimes devalue it. And so as a way of sort of talking about how to have people embrace it and a shout out for the Creativity Expo, what would you say for folks when they are trying to find their next self? And you had a look at the word hobby. Carl, how do you feel about the word hobby? I had mixed feelings about it.
I have no problem at all with the word hobby. I think that creative activity in all of its guises and all of its forms just serves us so, so, so well. And there's research that backs this up. There's research that came out about 2 summers ago that showed that regardless of how you define creativity, do you define it as artistry, or do you define creativity like we have here on your show as this more expansive life pursuit of joy and of new events? Regardless of how we define creativity, folks who are creative live longer mm-hmm. and they live more joyfully.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully.
And I don't know if there's a better promise that we can make to anybody than to say, by exercising your creative capacities and by having fun playing with your creative capacities, not only are you going to have great fun in the moment, not only are you going to learn more, but boy, you're going to live the most, the longest, most joyful life you can live. I say huzzah to that.
Huzzah.
That is so wonderful, and I hate that that is our final word, but that actually, I can't think of a better ending for our show, but let this not be an ending of our time together. I'm with my new best friends, Carl Nordgren on the telephone, Marielle Hare, and Hugh Willard. Thank you so much. Listeners, please head over to the Seymour Center on Saturday, September 23rd from 1 to 5, so that way you can be a part of the excitement and creativity. Listeners, find your own creativity, and as always, a big creative hug to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro for hosting our Aging Well Together show, and look forward to being together soon. Thank you all.
Thanks for your important work.
Thank you. We'll be right back.